Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and hotel. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omega 7 live coming to you from my studio. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you and say Habari Ghani to my old friends and say what's up to my new friends. Once again, I am your Maliwa. I'm your mother too. And I am your advocate and your advisor. I'm here to serve you whatever you like. Once again, how are the children this evening? And as a creature of habit, I know if they're anything like my house, they're getting ready for the holiday season. That's right. Even though we're African traditionalists, we also are creatures of habit. And because most of our traditional heritage has been centered around holidays, traditional holidays of Christmas, I am no different. I am a creature of habit. I celebrate the holidays too. And would encourage you to do so as well. Sure, we found out that some of these things are fictitious, but we continue to celebrate rituals and tradition. And if you're a traditionalist like myself, you'll probably be having a little parties and get-togethers in your house and Kwanzaa celebrations as well. And I plan to set aside a day for the children just so we can sing the Christmas carols and talk about the Christmas tree, and sing about the baby Jesus, the whole bit. That's right. One evening I'm going to tell stories and let the children sit around the tree and listen to music. Now, I'm not going to feel bad because I celebrate the Christmas holiday. I had a child born on Christmas Day. I couldn't skip over Christmas if I wanted to. He reminded me every year that he didn't want his birthday gift on Christmas Day. So I had to celebrate 2 days. I had to give him his birthday and then do Christmas separately. And for those of you who have children that are born on Christmas Day, make sure you extenuate the day that your child was born and give him a birthday party and let him realize that he's not baby Jesus, but he wants his birthday or her birthday. I like to say that the holiday season is a great one. It gets us in a mood for being happy and joyous and celebrative, and it's important to find those days that we can hollow out and we can celebrate. And right after Christmas, we do the 7 days of Kwanzaa too, and we bring out the tree with the roots in it. So we let our children know that Kwanzaa is not a spiritual holiday. It is not based on baby Jesus. It's a first fruit holiday where we give our first fruit back to the Creator. But it's very important that we celebrate and that we have something to celebrate. And last night we celebrated couples and relationships. We had a lot of fun in this room. We talked a little bit about how we would treat one another and how the man should coo the woman and woo her and sweep her off her feet and how the woman should be sweet to the man. We talked about all that. And if you missed it last night, go out and listen to the show on demand and go back and review it. I was in my second heaven last night having fun and talking jive as usual, just like we're going to be talking some jive tonight. I hope you are for it, ladies and gentlemen, because those of you who are listening very closely, you come in here just to be with a real person. You're not looking for some stiff-necked person quoting you scriptures and giving you factual information. You want people to be down to earth with you, and Omi is going to be down with you like that, because I'm going to get up front, personal, and comfortable with you. And you're going to have to realize that that's what this is all about. You can tune in to me and have fun while you're listening. We're in the joyous Christmas season, and it's time to get a little happy and feel lighthearted and be able to take things a little bit easier. Lay back and relax, and let me entertain you for a while, and let me get up front and personal and comfortable with you, if you don't mind. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back at you in a second. So get in position so we can go into the talking cure room. Meditating, we want to encourage you more so than ever before to call on your ancestors, because it is up to you to acknowledge your deceased loved ones and bring them back and position them back in the circle of life. And it's very important that you should remember to take time out personally every day to reconnect back to your higher self. And remember, women, don't forget, I'm still calling you God. Good evening, gods. And you should remember that you should stay in touch with your higher self by reconnecting back to God and speaking to yourself to tell yourself what it is you're going to do. And as we stand in position now and go over to the talking cure room, we're going to pour libations. We're going to acknowledge our higher self and tell ourselves what it is that we expect of ourselves. Because once you know that you have awakened God every day, you must stir up the God in you, so that the Godhead will be awakened. We pour libations to Ola Dulamare, and we say Ashe. We pour libations to my mother spirit, Yamanja, and I say Ashe. I pour libations to my father spirit, and I say Ashe, Obatala. Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, remember to light your candles. I have a pink candle for my mother's spirit, and I light the candle for my mother's spirit, and I say Ashe. I have a brown candle for my father's spirit, and I light the candle, and I say Ashe. They need light to guide them as they're guided on their way back home, and they need nourishment from the water to quench their thirst. And we call on our ancestors. Now call on your ancestors and call them one by one, those deceased loved ones who've transitioned on. You can call out your fathers, your mothers, whoever has transitioned. And we call out the spirit of our ancestors. I call Essely Pope. I call Robert Jenkins. I call Mary Lou Hawkins, Clara Jenkins. I call out the name of Tom Harvey, Tommy Pete Harvey, Eugene Lilly, Marvin Jenkins, Robert Jenkins, Essely Pope, Michelle Harvey, Michael Harvey. We call all of them in position, and ask them to allow us to climb over their backs. And as we stand at attention, let us meditate and think on the goodness of God. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know if you remember yesterday I talked to you about the Eightfold Path, talking about the Eightfold Path being associated with the Buddhists. The Buddhists believe in the Eightfold Path and was part of Buddhist belief. There's no deity, no God. So it is a way of life, and it's not a religion. And anyone can practice it who would like to embrace the Eightfold Path. And I tell you to embrace these concepts because they're good and they work for our people. They work for everyone. The Eightfold Path and understanding that when you're on a path, you have to be conscious of your brothers and your sisters, and you have to remember that the lifestyle is what we're looking for. We're not looking for another religion to tie us to a concept and tie us to being in bondage, but we're looking for a path of life that we can utilize on a routine basis, and we can find our way back to Iwapelu, meaning good character and good conduct. Now, for those of you who are looking at the billboards and would like to get ahead of me, I'm going to open up the chat rooms and invite you in. Our chat rooms are now open, and we've officially notified the Twitters as well as Facebook that our chat rooms are open. Now, if you'd like to come in our chat room and you want to chat a bit, I would encourage you to do so. We have a all brand new chat room, and I somehow get a chance to be in that chat room by myself. But yesterday, the other day, we had someone in there. They were co-hosting the show for me, and I'd like to thank that person if they'd like to come out there again to co-host that chat room for me. That's a brand new chat room, a slash chat room, and it is laid too, ladies and gentlemen. It also has the pull-down audio area as well as the video. So pretty soon we're going to utilize that room and take advantage of all the high tech in that room. Now, our topic for discussion is about a tribal concept, as you know. Our topic is the benefit of living a tribal life. What is your tribe? Now, I don't know how many of you have had the chance to actually have your DNA done or have gone back to Africa and talked to people in your tribe, your very own tribe. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Didn't you know if you're African, you came from a tribe? And usually when you have your DNA done, it actually depicts where you're from. And there are many tribes. There are thousands of tribes. And African tribes don't always live together when they're outside of their tribe. And that's why they're called tribal, because each one of them have distinctive earmarks and characteristics. Some of them have the gift of music. Some of them have the gift of dance. Some of them have the gift of actually being creative. They all have different talents, and some of them are better at gardening and working the ground, and some of them are better at worshiping. They all have different talents, and when most people see African-Americans, they tend to equate them with the Africans. Can you dance? Because the Africans dance so well. They think every African can dance the Watusi, and most of the time, most Africans and African-Americans are stepping to the same rhythm of the beat. Isn't that a coincidence or what? Now, what about the music, the ability to hear octave levels of music that no one else can hear but African race? Is that a coincidence or what? Or is that a part of the tribal condition? One thing I know for sure is a part of the tribal condition, and Europeans have adapted it. They have a concept called a tribal view, whereas when you first make a decision and you have been working in a tribe, you tend to look to the tribe to substantiate your decision, to substantiate how you believe, what you believe. And if it's outside of what the tribe thinks or believes, you tend to shy away from it unless you've been given a heads up and the approval of your tribe. And those people are not really tribally inclined, but they make themselves a tribe because they go together, because their thoughts and ideas are shared the same way, and they become a tribe. It's an invisible tribe that they don't speak of, but they normally live by. Now, why is it that Africans find it so hard to be associated with someone that thinks like them and also looks like them? Because we all want our identity. We want to be different. We want to be an individual. Now, there's something wrong with being an island and being an individual, because when you are caught off guard and cannot look over your shoulder to get in a substantiation from someone or the thumbs up, then you tend to waver in your belief system. You tend to look around and see who's going to support you in what you're doing. And even young people know they need a posse. Why do you think gangs are formed? Why do you think the little gangs on the corners are formed? Because they all look for someone to substantiate them. It's a tribal effect. And they have a tribal belief system, and then they have an individual belief system. And most of the time, we're always starting out at the tribal level, and we advance ourselves to the point of pulling away and developing an individual concept. But mostly the tribal effect is where we start. We start in tribes, at group. We start in the tribal effect in the church setting, our choices of churches that we choose, our belief system. Now, if you were to have an opportunity to go back to Africa right now, and I'm not talking to everyone, I'm speaking to African Americans, and if you still remember that you are black and that you did come, your parents came from Africa or your ancestors came from Africa, it's okay to accentuate that. And don't go telling me I'm not from Africa. I've never even been there. I don't know nothing about Africa. You might not know anything about Africa, but the burnt skin birthmark on your face indicates that you're a Nubian king or queen, and that is where your heritage is from. Now, if you had a chance, just say hypothetical, you had a chance to be given the opportunity to take a voyage back to Africa, preferably from your tribe, would you take that journey? Would you be willing to take that journey and go back to explore your heritage? Would you be willing to go all the way back to find out which tribe you came from? And who are your family? And who is still left in Africa that you can connect with? Would you be willing to take that journey? Why don't you take that journey with me and get ready, because we're going to take that journey and we're going to use some creativity and make believe in just a second so you can go back and figure it all out. I want you to put yourself in a position where you can call in on that line now, 646-478-0270. Now, for the benefit of those who have no imagination, I want you to use your imagination with me for a while, because we're talking about taking a journey back to Africa. It is a preparation, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm not going to lie to you. It took me 6 months before I was able to take a journey across 9 hours of the ocean going to Europe. And right in Europe, there is about 8 more hours to go before you get to Africa. Now, if you were in the process of getting ready to take a trip, you would have to pack. You would have to tell everyone, and you would have to take care of some detailed things at home, I'm sure. But every one of you who are out there who might not be multi-bilingual, and who might not even care to be bilingual, but I'm telling you, it's a great experience to experience other cultures, and especially your own culture, who you don't know anything about. Now, going across the water for me and my family was a unique time in our lives. We had not a clue what we were up against and what we were going to be facing. All we knew is we were going to be around Europeans. But little did we know, when we got to Europe, we were not only around Germans, who seemed to have been vanished from the area. I couldn't pinpoint one German man. that I ran into, and I kept asking, where are the Germans? And they indicated to me that they are now a multicultural cesspool of cultural people from around the world. They now entertain taking care of refugees, and that meant there were plenty of Africans there. I thought I was in little Africa's backyard when I got to Europe. However, I met tribe after tribe after tribe after tribe. I became so overwhelmed with all of the Africans I met and the different languages they spoke and wanted to identify with everyone, but never knowing where I was from. Not until someone walked up to me of African descent, put their hands around my wrist and felt my bone structure, looked at my eyes and my cheekbone, and immediately began to tell me where I was from. As he knew of my background in singing and songstress, he then could put a cap on exactly what part of the continent I was from. At that particular point, he indicated that particular tribe was singers, musicians, and dancers, and plenty of women came from that lineage. Now, when he told me this about the women and my family, women ran the gamut of over 7 women in my mother's family. I grew up with 10 other sisters, so I knew that he was right on task. And as he began to tell me about Africa, he allowed me to take a trip with him to Africa as we explored the various different dishes and the foods and recipes that they prepared, so much like what I prepared at home. Now, here I was in a strange place in Europe, away from my soul food, and the closest thing that I could get was a meal from the Togo African people. As they began to tell me the Togo stories, and began to tell me the lifestyle and the Nigerian story, and began to make Abuja, the capital of Nigeria, come alive to me. I began to feel like I could go to Africa and explore it, and maybe take a trip one evening and leave and stay gone for a while just to explore the motherland. But they were in flight. They said there was turmoil in their country, and they had to flee their very own country, and not even they would go back. Now, here's what I want you to know, African Americans. Most of the Africans have separated themselves from the culture and the tradition. They have so much wanted to Americanize themselves that they no longer want anything to do with the traditions. Isn't it strange? Here we are trying to keep the culture alive, and they're trying to run from it. By virtue of the fact that they do not even want their traditional heritage from Yoruba or any of their voodoo or any of their cultures, they have missionaries who have taught them to desire to know Jesus and be a Christian. So now you have the actual authentic African repelling their own traditions and customs and abandon their own ancestors, to the point where we are asking, how do we embrace something that you're actually repelling? So as they begin to explain the struggle that they went through just trying to practice their religion and trying to stay alive, they begin to realize that utilizing their own religion was very dangerous for them. So they gave up their customs and tradition. Nevertheless, I had a meal with them. I broke bread with them. I ate their foods. I learned how to weave. I learned how to braid hair. I learned how to interact with them because I was on a journey trying to find my way while they're in Europe. How was it that I could get closer to Africa? And little did I know that Africa came to me. So I experienced 5 years of staying around my African brothers and sisters, fellowshipping with them, dancing with them, singing with them, to the point where I had an offer with Susu Billy Bee, one of the finest African groups in Europe, and had the opportunity to produce and to bring about music. And we embraced one another and made a commitment that we would always stay in touch. During the time in Africa, that group was so popular and they wanted to perform with me. So I made contact with Pride. I was able to stay with the Togo people and understand their lifestyle. Isn't it funny how you have to go back as an African-American and relearn your culture all over again, how you have to understand what it's like to be African? When they dance ordinarily to a beat and we think we have to learn the beat, the first thing the Africans told us that the rhythm was already in us. And their religion was already in us. We didn't need a book to define ourselves. And they didn't need the book from the people who came over to civilize them. They were already spiritualized. So some of the things that we pick up a book and act like we need to teach and train ourselves, they immediately begin to tell us that they were not socialized off of books and pencils and paper, but they were socialized and sensitized off of the spirit and Mother Nature and the atmosphere. And the most important thing I learned from them was to be able to use my gifts and skills to allow Mother Nature to work through me, because God was already active and well within me. And it's also active and well within you. Now, you want to know your tribe, right? You ought to study the various different types of cultural groups from Africa. Study their languages. Find one that you would like to explore. And if you get the opportunity, take a trip to Europe if you can't get to Africa. It is probably the second best thing. When you get to Europe, you'll experience a multitude of different arrays of cultures. You'll experience not only the African, but you'll experience the Jewish people. You'll experience the Turkish people. You'll experience the Russians. You have all these opportunities to meet people from a multitude of backgrounds and religious backgrounds. There were so many denominations of Jewish belief system and Catholics, Italians as well. And this is the beauty in it. When you begin to meet all of the people that were created by the higher force, you begin to respect all denominations and languages, and you begin to have a love for languages as well. So take that opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. Take your children there when you can't afford it. Also, get your children involved in tourism and internships, and take that trip because you can experience your particular tribe. Now, Europeans, I want to tell you this much. There were many Jewish people there, and they were asking, will somebody please help them to understand what was going on? Because the Germans were constantly making apologies about Hitler and what happened with Hitler. And so many of the educated Germans came to me to make an apology about how they were very, very sad about what Hitler had did to the darker skinned of people. There were more African-American Germans there than I could shake a tail at. They wanted to tell their story. They knew all about what happened when Hitler was on the scene, and they knew the Holocaust of the black people that also transitioned and died in the Holocaust as well. Now, before any Jewish people ever died, they explained that there were black Jews who died as well. So there lies another Mayafa. Once again, I say that when you learn where your tribe is, you learn the dance of your tribe, the cloth for your tribe, and you learn the music from your tribe, those are some things you can pass on to your children. There's no shame in knowing where you came from, because it will help you to ultimately know where you're going. And if you should by chance get a chance to travel, travel to Germany. It's a beautiful place. It's a very, very relaxed place, and this is a country who has learned about their mistakes and trying to stifle people because of color. They are now apologetic, and they are so much into having a lifestyle that engages the tribal life that you would think that most of the Germans were Africans. They've embraced their culture. They live their culture, and they worship the same way, and they now know the benefit of being in a tribe, because at one time they had an Aryan nation, And they tell their story. It's no secret, Europeans. They tell their story, and they explain how this all came about with Hitler, when Hitler decided to have an Aryan nation and have a pure race. They explain that it should have never happened, because there's no way you can take a nation and create an Aryan nation out of it when you had African people who brought about civilization. They know the story. They have all of the history books there. They're very tribal people. And just to be exact how tribal they are, every Friday they shut down their businesses early and bring their families out in the courtyard, and they commune with their families because they're tribal people. They believe in ancestors. They even worship trees, and the ancestors are the trees, they said. There was once deities who came down, and they even worship trees. Now, not to say that that's right, but to say that they have picked up on the Africans' religion, and they've also brought the Africans over to safety, because they had so many tribal wars in Africa, they needed somewhere to go for safe shelter. And the Germans allowed them to come into their country as a refugee and to give them sanction and protection. Now, this is a good thing. And I think out of all of this, it brought abroad multiplicity of all types of culture to live together. The Jewish living right there with the Russians, the walls came down. The walls that were up over in Germany came down, and this allowed all of the people to worship together and to be a part of each other's life. And that's the way it should be. Salubrious diversity. All denominations of people, all creeds of people, and all people interacting together. Now, the Buddhists is one that I know embrace all denominations and all races of people, and they worship together. And that's the way it should be. Now, we go and get a religion that no one can be a part of. Even now, Ifa embrace all denominations of priests, even European priests, because Ifa is supposed to heal everyone. Now, we have got to come to the conclusion that we are going to be diversified in our thinking and in our worship. And it's very important that we should become salubrious diversity. And when we become salubrious diversity, we can embrace all tribes and all tribal people will be welcome. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I certainly believe that there is some beauty and there is something to gain from learning from other people's culture. There is great things to learn from learning from other people's culture. In the 5 years that I spent in Europe, I learned so much about the customs and traditions of the Germans that I just could not believe a group of people this kind could ever let what happened with Hitler happen. Nevertheless, it happened. And because it happened, it drew people together in a way you would never believe. It drew people together to learn to respect one another, to bring people together in time of trouble. And they swore to themselves that they would never allow this to happen again, because people had to die needlessly. And the city that I was in, right below my home, was a bunker, an area where most of the Jews were actually put into incarceration camps. It's very, very historical moment there, and people tend to go there to get educated about how not to have wars upon wars. And the Africans now are having to flee there from their country, and they're given safety because the Jewish people were never given the safety. So the Germans don't want the Africans to have to go through what the Jewish people went through. So they have a sanction. They have a treaty that anyone that is fleeing from tribal wars can come to their country for protection. And that's a great thing. And that's a great tribal effort to keep human beings alive. It's very important that we understand that our tribal pursuit does not mean that we will assault some other individual. It means that every individual has a right to life, and that we should govern ourselves accordingly so that all human beings are given the same respect. Now, ladies and gentlemen, how about taking that trip to Africa? How about taking a journey back to find out where your tribe is from? And better yet, how about actually writing a pen pal person abroad and being connected with them. Taking a trip abroad does not necessarily mean that you're giving up your life here in America. It means that you go on a journey just to fill in the gap of something that you've probably always been longing about and longing to know. And if you haven't, then you have never wondered about your ancestors and where you're from, then that's unusual. Then you should sometimes think about that. And most of all, getting to understand the traditions and the lifestyle is very important so that we don't think that it's strange and abnormal. So being a part of a tribe is very important, and everybody wants to belong. Everybody wants to go somewhere where somebody knows their name, and it's very important to have something or somebody that you're connected to. If you notice in the military is very fond of bringing every organization that they can think of to the military so everybody can connect and feel like they belong somewhere. And being a part of a tribe will help you feel connected like you belong somewhere. And it's very, very vital that you always feel like you can go home again. How many of you feel like you can go home again? How many of you understand that we have to be not only connected to a nation, but we have to have a land base? And there's no place called African Americans, but there is a place called Africa that we can periodically venture out to do something for those children who are suffering in Africa, to do something for those women who are not able to go to school. I made a commitment to work with the women in Africa and to work with getting every young woman an opportunity to go to school. Most of those young women are not allowed to go to school in those foreign countries. They're forbidden to go to school, and they need to have an education because their statistics show that when women are educated in foreign countries, it cuts down on crime, it creates better economic opportunities within the country. So you ought to make a commitment, women. You're gods now. You can step up and decree a thing. You ought to make a commitment to go and to help infants that are being born premature there who don't have the opportunity. Find a commitment where you can create an opportunity. And if you can't go there on the journey, create an opportunity to be a pen pal. But find some reason to reconnect to your tribe so you can get upfront and personal with them and learn something about them and be able to give it all you got, because really this time on this earth is all you have. So I'm just getting upfront and personal with you. It's time that you should make a decision to go back and find where your tribe is.
Just unwind and say, hey.